Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here in studio with a first-time guest. I've got Mr. Derek Hutchings, White County Commissioner. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we've talked and for weeks and tried to figure it out. And really, I guess this whole idea started, you know, I can't remember if I told you I did a show or you brought it up. I don't remember how it happened, but we were out of training. You come to one of my classes and Coffee County. Yeah, I'm getting... I'm so many places, I get confused. And we were talking, and I really enjoyed talking to you and your chairman there in White County about budgeting. And you both asked wonderful questions during that class. And I thought, you know what? He'd be really good to have my radio show.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk commission stuff. But before we get into county commission stuff, and again, White County Commissioner, what district you serve?
Six.
Six districts. So, sixth district, White County Commissioner Derek Hutchings with me. Tell about your background, Derek. Where'd you grow up at?
White County.
Yep. What part of the county?
I was in grew up in the 7th district, up kind of towards Cookeville, Duck Pond Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lived there until I was 12. Then I moved to Dole, lived in Dole for a while until I graduated high school. Yeah.
Okay. When did you graduate high school?
98.
We're the same age.
Yeah.
I forgot. I think we said that, and I forgot all about it. You look younger than I do, so... I have a face for radio, Derek. That's why I'm on here in radio. So what was it like growing up in White County?
You know, it's simple. You know, I love the slow pace of White County. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
When you got out of high school, what'd you do?
I went straight to work. Got married, went to work. Got married in 99. Been married, so I have a 25-year anniversary coming up in August.
Wow.
To Christy Hutchings, my wife.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Another White County graduate.
Yeah.
And we lived there our whole life. We have a bunch of animals. Mainly, we raise quarter horses.
Yeah.
So we've got about 20 head of quarter horses that we show.
Yeah.
And then no children, but we have a bunch of animals.
Well, so 25 years, again, congratulations. I guess, were y'all high school sweethearts?
No, actually, we met after high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a year or two older than me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. I have several friends that male friends that married a little bit older than them. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's love is love, man. Whatever age and time it looks like, I think that's great. So, I didn't grow up with quarter horses. I grew up with a walking horse. My daddy had one. Was actually born the same year you and I were in 80. Were you born in 80? Is that right?
79.
Okay. And his name was Champ. And so I didn't grow up around a bunch of horses, but I grew up around Champ and our mule, which we called Granny or Belle, who lived to be 43 actually. So she outlived Champ. Champ was he died in 2003. I was 23. I was in Nashville working at the CPA firm, and Daddy called me. And he had died. But what got you into quarter horses? I'm intrigued.
Christy, my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just have a passion for them?
She has always had horses. Yeah, she's always been a horse person. We got married and, you know, started a life. And I had a race car. Her family was as big into dirt cars.
Yeah.
So they had the racetrack at Baxter,
yeah,
actually. So I started racing, and she was showing horses, and, you know, we were just in different directions every weekend, and we're both like, this is not fun.
You know,
they do something together.
Right.
So we found what we do now is called cowboy mounted shooting. She showed pleasure horses, which was boring to me. It's on the rail stuff.
Right.
But this is action. You know, the horses run and stuff.
So yeah.
I'm an adrenaline junkie, so I race cars, and this has guns, and I'm a gun enthusiast, so kind of guns and horses that put her and I on the same page of what we do.
So where can you do that at?
We actually have shows here in Cookeville.
Really?
Yeah, at Heidelberg.
Okay.
We've got one coming up 4th of July weekend, actually.
Okay.
We're in Shelbyville for a week this last week from Saturday to Saturday. We were down there. There's another one in Shelbyville the week after Celebration, the middle of September. I don't have the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But we're down there for a week. And, yeah, there's a few around here close, Alabama, Georgia. We travel some. We go to Texas once a year to a big show down there.
I need to go check that out.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I love horses. God, they're such a beautiful animal. So smart. And like I said, when my brother and I grew up with them, and we didn't Champ got sick. I guess he got foundered and got sick and and stuff when we were younger. And I think I only got to ride him one time when I was younger, and I think that was it because he got sick after that. But he was just a big pet, you know, and just Day loved him, took care of him. We fed him. He would just come up to you. You could pet him, whatever. But, yeah, I miss that. I actually had talked about getting – Daddy another horse a few years ago, and he's like, no. like, I don't think I want to take care of that. So he taught me out of it. But that's awesome. You and your wife, I'm sure, stay busy with that. So I'm curious, you know, you're a 6th district commissioner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm curious to what made you decide, you know, why did you want to run for county commission in Watt County?
Well, I guess the biggest thing – there was a resolution come up, a health and safety resolution, that I wasn't fond of. And it was because of my livestock. It was a county ordinance. The commissioners that were there the last term, they had really good intentions. A lot of them are still on commission with us. But it's like anything that comes through. If it's not specific, it can get twisted and turned. Mm-hmm. And the intentions was to clean up, you know, dilapidated houses that were half burned down, you know, where we could find people, or if they have like really trashy yards. That was the intent of it.
Right.
But there was verbiage in there. If you had a barking dog within 500 foot of your property line, or you have livestock and it smells and things of that nature, it kind of was really broad. And coming from a farming background or, you know, horse background, so many of these large farms right now are getting subdivided, and your farmer that's next door, they've still got their tractor sitting out back or their equipment because they need those for parts to work on, right? And it's a legitimate use for that stuff there. And if their neighbor sells out because they've passed away, then all of a sudden you've got a, you know, 50 or 100 house subdivision next door, and they don't like that there, you know, that would give them an option to complain. I just didn't think it was – I didn't like the way it was wrote. I didn't think it was fair for the citizens. So I found out about it. I was too late. It already passed by the time I found out about it.
Okay.
So I was upset, and I'm like, why am I mad? I'm not informed.
Right.
So I can't be mad if I'm not informed. I'm not going to the meetings. I don't know what's going on, so I can't be mad at them for doing this and not voicing my opinion because I didn't know about it.
Wow.
So right then I'm like, you know, I'm going to start going to meetings, and I learned a lot. I went. The commissioner's joke said that I was at more meetings than the commissioners were that year. Because for a whole year, I went before I run.
Yeah.
To learn, because I don't do anything halfway. If I want to do it, I'm going to be educated, informed, and do it. I'm all in.
I think, golly, Derek, that's wonderful to me that you've said, that you just said, I wanted to be a county commissioner. One, basically you wanted to make a difference, but you realize you wasn't informed.
Yeah.
And I love that because there oftentimes we have people that run for any office that may not be informed on what that office duties or requirements are. I mean, there's specific duties laid out in the statute, as you know, for each county government office and what they're required by law to do and what they can't what they're prohibited from doing. And county commissioners, you know, have a lot of responsibility, especially with the budget. But in this case, and I want to talk a little bit more about this. This is a health and safety resolution, basically. I guess come through the County Powers Act.
It did.
Yeah. So we did the same thing in Putnam County right after I started, and I think we did it in 2015. And the good thing is like you said, the commission can put that verbiage in there they want. So identify the problem, which Watt County obviously saw there was a problem with properties that were either dilapidated or a health hazard based on they were had some trash there, or maybe they were just junky. And so they saw a need, but they also included these other things you didn't like. And so I'm not saying Putnam County did it the right way, the perfect way. We did do it the right way. We just did do it. Well, I'm not saying we did it the perfect way, but one thing we did was we grandfathered in any property that was already a junkyard. There was nothing you could do about that. So they were working as a business. And even though that sometimes people don't like junkyards near them, I mean, it happens, right? There's things in the statute you can and cannot do. But we focused on properties that people own, they were letting either grow up or they were junking it up with tires or trash. And we've had over, I think, I don't know what the recent number is. Last I heard, we had like 236 properties we'd cleaned up.
Yeah.
Or we had cleaned up. And so those properties would look like this. Stacks of tires laying everywhere. Trash just laying out in the yard. And so there's a process to that. And I won't get into the process. But there, if you're listening, you're interested in that process, call the county mayor's office. But there's a process. But the one thing we didn't do is we didn't have anything with noises like a barking dog, because – people in the county, they have dogs and cats and
chickens
and goats and pigs and yeah, and goats and donkeys. I mean, there's a donkey that lives across, as we say in Baxter, the holler. For me, I can hear every single night around 10 p.m. Yep. I mean, he's letting it rip. He don't bother me. I mean, it's a donkey. He's probably scaring away a coyote. I don't know. But there's county commissions have the authority to do things like you just said. But you said you wasn't informed, and it drove you to start going to county commission meetings. So when you started going to county commission meetings, how quick did it take you to decide, I want to do this?
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
At first, there was a lot of frustration because I understand how the process worked. And then the more I went, the more I learned. And I don't know. I enjoy it. I feel like I have a knack for it. And I thoroughly enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about the process, because I get phone calls, or people that will come to meetings, or people that don't come to meetings, I get phone calls, and they'll get frustrated and say, well, that meeting lasted 15 minutes. Well, I don't know if we ever had a 15-minute meeting, but that meeting only lasted 30 minutes. Y'all didn't talk about anything. Well, we talked about it in committees, or we had talked about it at prior meetings. And so when we come back, I want to talk about that process and how you as a citizen wanted to become informed, so you took action. So I think – I'm so happy you're here. You said you wanted to run for county commission because you wanted to be informed and you wanted to make a difference. That makes me happy. This has been Rogers. I have Derek Hutchings, 6th District White County Commissioner, on with me. We'll be back in just a moment after this break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This has been Rogers. I have Mr. Derek Hutchings, a 6th District White County Commissioner. I always love having county commissioners on. Derek, I haven't had a whole lot on while I've been doing this show, but I want to have more on because I love perspectives of other county commissioners. And so I'm glad to have you on from White County. So we were talking about your desire or the things that motivated you to run for county commission. There was something the county did. You wanted to learn more about it. You wanted to be more informed, and you ran. And so when you started going to county commission meetings, you said it didn't take you long to decide you wanted to do this. But what was something that maybe surprised you when you started going, or something that caught you off guard or you didn't know?
Yeah, so the health and safety resolution in particular. So I'd found out that it was going to be voted on full court night. So that's the first meeting that I go to, show up full court, never been to one. You know, they stand up. You know, I start rattling off resolutions. Resolution 1, 2, 3, you know, any comment, they vote, and they're done. They go to the next one. And at the very end, they ask for input from the audience. And at that point, it was too late. They'd already voted on everything. The meeting was over. They're just wanting to allow anybody to speak who want to speak. But you can't give an opinion if they've already voted on something. They can't, you know, unring that bell. So that's when I found out about committee meetings. You know, that's where the action happens in the committee meetings. That's where they hash everything out. And I'll say White County is good about allowing the citizens to speak at those meetings. You know, we are glad to have the citizens there, and I encourage everybody to come to those meetings so they can have their opinion and speak to their, you know, the representatives. And that was probably the biggest learning curve I had right out the gate was the committee meetings. That's where the action's at.
It is. The committee meetings are there for a reason, and there are some statutory committees that by law have to exist, and there are a lot of them, though, are what we call standing committees that are there for the purpose of working on things, deliberating, and, of course, they're all open to Public Meetings Act. And it's interesting that you had mentioned, and we're not being critical here at all. It is a little confusing why counties allow public comment at the end of a meeting. And so just last year, the state legislature decided to require county commissions to offer a time period for public comment. Before, it wasn't required. Before, under the Open Meetings Act, all we had to do as commissioners is let you attend, let you come in. We didn't have to let you be heard. We didn't have to let you have input, which I always think it is good for input. I think there's a correct way to do it. But this law basically said, you know, you have to allow public comment. So when, as in Putnam County, we were talking about how that looked, and some of the commissioners said, well, we'll just put it at the end. And there's a few of us that said, hey, I think we need to put it at the beginning, because if they're there, the law says it has to be germane to the agenda. So it has to be on the agenda to speak about it, right? And so if they're there to speak about an item on the agenda, well, we should let them speak before we actually vote or deliberate. And even though it's went through committee, and they can come to committee too and talk, citizens can, but even though it's went through committee, and for the full commission meeting, so our time is at the beginning.
Okay.
Our time is at the beginning of the meeting, and we give you 3 minutes. You have to tell us which topic you want to speak on and give you 3 minutes, and then if you have questions, we can try to answer them, and then so we go to the next person. We haven't had a lot of that yet. And we're in April of 24, and it started in July of 23. So we haven't had a lot of it. But have y'all had a lot of people? Do you have a lot of people in White County come for public comment?
We do.
Okay.
You know, you have your faithful couple or three people that come to the majority of the meetings, and then you have your special interest. You know, people will show up specifically for a topic that they're looking at. Committee nights, you know, steering A, steering B, solid waste, you know, at least one or two people will probably speak at each meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Full court meetings, at least one or two as well.
Yeah.
We have people that are, you know, that are active in the community, and we, I appreciate that for sure.
Well, I've heard some commissioners across the state, I don't know what the word is, maybe frustrated or reluctant to allow people to speak. And I said, why? Well, we want to conduct business and go home. I said, well, I'd much rather them talk to the whole body as a group at the same time then call 24 commissioners and talk to them then, because one, that's exhausting for the citizen that's calling, but two, everybody's hearing the same thing, right, at one time, and everybody's processing the same time, and I would rather them come to a meeting and talk about their concerns and go about that way. So, yeah, I love the fact that we have people that are more interested in learning more about government and learning how it operates. I've encouraged this as chair of the county commission, chair of the budget committee. We want you to come.
Absolutely.
I like seeing an empty audience and nobody there to care. I want you to come, and I want you to be heard if you want to be heard. And you have to follow the rules, because we are doing this out of respect for elected positions and respect for government. So as long as you can be respectful, I'm going to let you speak. But I think it's a great idea, and I think so. Did you ever stand up and speak before you became a commissioner? Did you ever stand up and speak?
I did.
Okay, how'd that go?
Stuck my foot in my mouth a little bit. You know,
don't we all though, Derek?
Right? You know, it's part of the learning process.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was aggravated, and I thought, you know, things were being hid from me, and it was for the lack of knowledge again.
Yeah.
You know? So once I learned the process and how it worked, you know, I learned to stuck my foot in my mouth. That's how you learn, right?
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, you grow. I said this last week. You got to be uncomfortable to grow. And you also got to be wrong to grow. You got to fail to grow and be better. I nobody likes to fail, right? Nobody likes to have – the fear of failure is the biggest fear for a lot of people. But you have to get better.
What is it? Knowledge comes from experience, and experience comes from failure.
Something like that. Yeah. Like oh, that. Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%. I don't like failing. I don't like letting my constituents down. We had a vote. I'm not going to get into it. We had a vote recently that it was a decisive vote. It was split, kind of. And I voted in favor, and I still feel like I should have. But there was parts of me that questioned if I did the right thing. And I think in the end I did. But we're human, right? We're human too. I know we're elected. We're put on a higher standard. I believe that wholeheartedly. County commissioners, elected officials, are set to a higher standard of performance, of ethics, of morals, of character, of integrity, and how they conduct their business. And we should be, but we're also human.
Right.
And it's hard to be perfect, and we can't be. So, I struggle sometimes with, did I do the right thing? Did I rely on the good Lord to help me out on that? Or do I think I do it my own? You know, I mean, right. And that's something that we struggle with. But it's a process. So I think so far, you're almost, and I guess you're about to finish your second year, right? Your first term.
Yes.
What's something that's been surprising to you, whether it's good or bad? What's something as a commissioner that's been surprising? Is there anything out there that...
How slow government works.
That's kind of what I was looking for. We didn't talk about this before. That's kind of what I was looking for. How slow does it work, Derek?
You know, I'm a business person. I manage a finance company personally. And then my wife has another office that she runs. And then we own two others. And when a decision needs to be made, you make it and you move on, right? Something needs to be purchased or something needs to be done. If somebody needs to be fired, you make that decision, you move on. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. Government, so when I started, one of the hot topics was our landfill. I went to every meeting for a year. I'm coming up on 2 years. They were talking about leasing and selling their landfill at the very first meeting I went to.
Right.
So we're 3 years in, and we're just about to, you know, put pen to paper and actually get it sold.
Yeah. So, I'll talk about that as we come back after the break. But, yes, government does move at a slow pace, and it's not always the county's fault, right? So when we come back after the break, we'll expand on that a little bit. I'm Ben Rogers. I have Derek Hutchings, White County Commissioner from the 6th District. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Enjoying my time here. This is Ben Rogers. I have Derek Hutchings, the White County Commissioner in the 6th District. And so we were talking. I said one of the things that maybe surprised you were when you became your second year as a commissioner. And so one of the things that surprised you, and you said government moves at a slow pace. And it does. And it's not always the county's fault. We have regulations, especially with solid waste, like closing a landfill. My word. Closing a landfill or selling one is a whole process. You got the state, which you got Tennessee Department of Environment Conservation involved. Federal government may be involved. The EPA probably gets involved with that. Absolutely. And so you're all these things you're having to go through, all these channels of communication with these other agency, state or government agencies that you have to deal with. And it's not like it's going to happen in months. Anytime something big like that takes, it could take a year or longer. And you said this is the third year.
It is.
And y'all, so are y'all selling the landfill?
We are. So initially, we were trying to get a new sale permitted for us ourselves to run it. We have not been able to take out of county trash. That was a resolution passed many years ago that we were only going to take White County trash. As a business person coming in, we saw the landfill losing money. We weren't generating enough revenue, and I thought, we need to run this as a business. We need to open it up, take out of county trash. We can start generating some revenue. It can help pay for itself and offset some of those expenses. And as a business person, that sounds great. But when you really dig into it and you get to the nuts and bolts of it, the county's not efficient.
Right.
It is a business. And as a county, we can't be efficient at that.
Right.
You know, we don't have the manpower to do so. So once I wrapped my head around that and the other commissioners, you know, we thought, well, let's lease it. We'll still own it. We'll lease it out. We went through a year of that and got to the very end of the RFP process, and it fell apart. It was – the contract was this and that, and the state didn't like it, and the company didn't like it, and it just fell apart, and they come back to us and said, we would feel better just straight purchasing it. The companies – there was multiple companies obviously involved. So we had to start the process all over again, and that's where we're at now. So we have a contract with Waste Management to sell it to them. We're negotiating the final, you know, things on that. And hopefully next month we'll finalize it for sale.
So I'm going to ask a question. If you can't answer it because it's sensitive information, you be glad to tell me and I'll move on. Do you think the plan with them is to open that landfill up to other counties? Or is it just
going to be – It is.
Okay.
Oh, an outside company cannot manage it and take – just county trash. I mean, they're in a business to make money.
Sure.
So, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember the tonnage a day, but they're going to bring in a lot of tonnage a day.
Okay.
It's it's going to be a good thing for White County. It's going to generate some revenue for White County that's much needed, but it's also going to give a relief to the surrounding counties in Upper Cumberland.
Yeah.
The very first meeting I went to, our orientation meeting in September, one of the waste management guys or one of the solid waste guys spoke, and you may correct me if you remember, there was 96 counties and there was only maybe 30 something landfills total, county owned and privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in 10 years, about half of those are going to be shut down or closed.
Yep.
What are the citizens of Tennessee? We're, you know, every time one closes down, we're shipping that much further. The cost is going to go up that much more. Solid waste is no joke.
No, it's not. And I don't. And this is why it's good to be informed, right, for citizens that may not understand. What does taxpayer dollars go to? Well, part of it goes to solid waste. And you know, if you have a landfill, of course, you can charge, you know, those tipping fees and you can charge services. But if you're a county without a landfill and you're transferring that trash to another county, or, you know, it could be 100 miles away. Seriously, there's counties taking their trash 100 miles every day. Because they don't have a landfill. And so what are we going to do if they start shutting down? I mean, I know there's companies, governments that are looking at different sources or other options that we can use.
Right.
But has there been the solution found yet? I'm not sure, other than putting it in the ground.
That's the best solution. Even with recycling, there's a stigma around recycling and people are, you know, recycle plastics and, you know, we have the containers set up and so forth. But cost effective, it is cheaper for us to put it in the ground than it is to actually recycle it. There's more of a cost to recycle plastics than put in the ground.
Yeah.
And as a county run landfill, we have to be as efficient as we can.
Sure. Yeah, no, I understand that. Well, so we know solid waste is a big topic in county government. Is there anything else that surprised you that was something that county commissions have to deal with? Or did you already kind of understand what your role was coming in as a county commissioner?
Yeah, I pretty well understood everything else.
Well, the biggest part, of course, is, you know, by law, is the passing the budget, right?
Right.
And your, of course, you're in your second year, and you said you had a finance background, so are you on the budget committee this year?
This is my first year on the budget.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably a good idea because of your finance background. You can add – you don't have to be a finance expert to be on the budget committee, but it's good to have some people on there that may be able to answer questions that some others may not be aware of or whatever. But have you all started meeting yet?
We have. We've had – so I attended one of your meetings, actually, on budget.
Sure.
That was March?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was in March. February, maybe.
February, I think. Yeah. Yep.
That kind of got the ball rolling. That was, you know, kind of knocked the cobwebs off and get things going there. And we've got a plan in place. We had a meeting last Monday. We have a meeting this Thursday. So we're fired in. All of the county officials have sent their budget request in to us. And we actually took some advice from the meeting from you. We created a Google Docs with everybody's budget request on it, and they went out to all the department heads so everybody could be – department heads to be more informed of
sure.
the budget request for everybody across the board.
Yeah.
That was – that Kyle and I took that away from your meeting, and that, I think that's been well-received.
Good. And that's – so I'm glad you brought that up. That training meeting we had in Coffee County, you and Kyle attended, and we after the class, you know, Heather and I said – my former counterpart – come up to me and said, you know, hey, you know, or told y'all, hey, if I have any questions, you know, we're here. So we stayed and I talked to you and Kyle, and she come over and we had talked during the class about the budget process. And one of the things we really hit on is as a budget committee member, it's always important to include the county official or the department head in those discussions. And so we've seen counties, and I'm not going to name counties. I don't get on here and blast counties, but we've seen counties in the past where they didn't want to include the county official department head in the budget process. And we teach at CTAS that, you know, one of the biggest components of budgeting is communication and finding out the needs from those elected officials. And you and I and Kyle were talking about, hey, give them a seat at the table. You know, when they come to present their budget, welcome them with open arms, the elected official that is, and be polite, but ask good questions, and they should give you good answers. And that way you can make an educated decision on their budget request. And I know, who is your budget committee chairman?
Denny Wayne is.
Denny Wayne, okay. Denny Wayne's, of course, been around the block. You know, he's well-versed in county government, served as a commissioner, and he's been county executive for a while. So he understands, and I think it's good to have a budget committee chairman that can not only answer questions but lead that committee forward. So early on in budget talks, we're not going to talk a whole lot about budgets in White County because I don't know if you've seen all the requests. But, you know, last year in Putnam County, we had a huge increase. And, you know, this year we're hoping it won't be that way. But we haven't started – you know, we've only had one meeting. So – are you excited about being on the budget committee?
I am. I enjoy
numbers
and helping the community. Probably one thing, one of the biggest takeaways from the budget that I learned about last year is how much money we handle, but how little we get to work with.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're dealing with millions of dollars of money, but when you cut through the red tape of the maintenance of effort – we're left with this very small pool of money that we can actually divvy out and work with. And I don't want to take your session over, but right now we're trying to pass a sales tax increase mm-hmm. in the county. So the city passed a few years ago to raise their sales tax from 2.25 to 2.75. They raised it 0.5%.
Right.
Which makes the with the state 7% makes the 9.75 the cap.
Sure.
So the county did not do that. So we're 0.5% behind on the tax. So we split with the city up to that 2.25, and the city's getting to keep the other 0.5%.
Yep.
So before I come on board, there was they made a push. Of course, that goes to referendum. It has to be voted on by the citizens. So there was a push for it about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it failed. That was a big push I tried for last year, too. There were several commissioners that was on board for it. We made a big push for it. Had a special election, and we failed by 75 votes.
Mm.
So it's going to be on the August ballot this year. I got educated quite a bit last time, who to talk to, who we missed talking to, so forth. But in a nutshell, it's about $1 million a year. And we talk about sales or property tax pennies, you know, it's like 18, 19 cents. So to get the same bang for our buck, we'd have to raise the property tax, you know, 18 cents. So trying to explain that to the county employees, every county employees need a raise. I mean, we're all behind.
Sure.
Every county is. And I learned that at your meeting. Yeah. You know, it was refreshing to go to that meeting and hear from other counties that were there, the struggles they're having are the same struggles we're having. You know, we went to a meeting last month in Nashville and meeting other, you know, county officials. It was refreshing to know that we're not on this boat in the ocean by ourselves.
Right.
Everybody's had the same struggle. So we're trying really hard to get the sales tax passed this year, increased. It's on the August ballot. It's going to be tough. You know, it's the presidential primary and stuff. So it's going to be a tough sale.
Sure.
But we're trying to better educate. We're trying to do a better job educating.
Right.
Because we need those funds for our county employees.
Well, you said $1 million, right?
Yeah.
And half of that's going to go to school, so that's going to help your education system out. But the other half can go towards raises and other things that your county offices are needing to provide those services.
Absolutely.
Derek, man, I've enjoyed this. I would like for you to come back someday. It's been a great pleasure talking to you about county government. People know I'm a county government nerd, and it's good to talk to somebody that's got a passion for it as well, what you do. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this like I have. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks to my producer, Jake. I hope everybody enjoys their weekend. Come back next week. We'll have another guest. Remember, it's always easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day. Don't be mean. Be kind to people, and we'll see you next week.